Hello, and welcome to a podcast for and from the North Coventry Group of United Reformed Churches. This has been prepared for Trinity Sunday, the 7th of June, 2020. Details of music and sources are in the online transcript, and I would like to thank Erica and Janet for joining in the preparation of this week's edition. Here are words from Psalm 31. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. Here is a hymn for Trinity Sunday, Thou whose almighty word.
Thank you. Lord God, with the psalmist and with all of your people in all times and places, we want to express our confidence in you as a fixed point, our rock, our protection. We rejoice that you are our God, though we struggle to articulate even the partial understanding we have of your nature and your being. We thank you for your threefold revelation of yourself to us. In you we all have our origin, even when we do not understand how creation came to be. Through your Son, we all have a guide to right living and the reassurance that humanity is reconciled to you. Through the Holy Spirit, we are inspired to live up to our potential and act as channels of your love and your peace. When our circumstances seem to change so quickly, we look to you for stability. When we lose our trust in others, we look to you for faithfulness. When human rights are under threat, we look to you for guidance on what is just. We want to respond as we ought, and to apply the teaching of Jesus even to the confused and troubled times in which we live. Forgive us when we fail. Redirect us when we stray. And when we seem forever to find fault with one another, remind us that all humanity has the potential to love and care for each other in your image and following your uncomplicated laws of living. We offer this worship and all our prayers to you in the name of Jesus, and share his words as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
This is Trinity Sunday, the first Sunday after Pentecost, when preachers are invited or expected to have yet another stab at exploring or explaining the nature of God. Historically, the Church used this opportunity not just to explore, but to declare the nature of God. Some arms of the Church still make use on this day of the so-called Athanasian Creed, a statement of belief in the late 5th century Church that focuses on the Trinity and runs to nearly 700 words. Here's a flavour of it. The Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons, nor dividing the essence. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. I wouldn't dare to try to sum up the message of the Athanasian Creed other than that it insists we have one God and not three, and yet God is in each aspect we think of as the Trinity. We have heard a hymn that looks at each person of the Trinity verse by verse. Thou whose almighty word chaos and darkness heard, God the Father and Creator. Thou who didst come to bring healing and sight, God the Son. Spirit of truth and love, life-giving, holy dove, explicitly the Holy Spirit. I like this hymn, and I have made use of it all year round, not just on Trinity Sunday, when I wanted to begin worship with a reminder of how all-embracing and all-involved in human life God is. And to use Trinitarian language. So often it is easier to define God by what he does than by what he is. Our ministers and elders, when they are ordained, adults when confirmed, received into church membership, will be expected to reply in the affirmative when we ask this question. Do you confess your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Maker of heaven and earth, Redeemer of the world, Giver of life? It is what God does. Each person of the Trinity given a part in the creation, the reconciliation with creation, and the ongoing inspiration of God's people. Hard as it may be to define God, it is good to be able to rationalize what God does in this threefold way. And God's people have been observing his power and love and reacting to it through all time. That's what the psalmist is getting at. He marvels that God, who has concerns for the whole of the universe, nevertheless cares and provides for humanity. And also entrusts the natural world to human care. We too can look at the night sky and wonder at its immensity, and we know better than the psalmist what a small part of creation we occupy. And we too can wonder, what have we done? What can we do to deserve this? Our God, as the children's hymn goes, is a great big God. How should we respond? Regular listeners will recall how 2 weeks ago we made use of the closing paragraphs of Luke's Gospel to consider how Jesus left his disciples after his earthly ministry. Here is how Matthew brings his Gospel to a close.
A reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Lo, I am with you to the end of the world. Lo, I am with you to the end of the world. Lo, I am with you. Lo, I am with you. Lo, I am with you to the end of the world. Lo, I am with you when you leave self behind.
Lo, I am with you when you leave self behind. Lo,
I never worry that there are different accounts of the very end of the life of Jesus. Human nature being what it is, some of this can be put down to a sort of Chinese whispers affecting the oral tradition until things were written down, and then copied, and then summarized, and, well, you'll have heard this before. Matthew gives us a very full account of the death of Jesus and the surrounding events. Then seems to rush to round off the story. Think of how long John takes to talk of doubting Thomas. Here we have two words, some doubted. And then on we go. The nearest that Matthew gets to a prediction of the coming helper, the Holy Spirit, is that last promise. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Lo, I am with you to the end of the world. But this brief five-verse reading is full of meaning, full of message, and still remarkably full of relevance to us, even if this was a commission to the surviving disciples in that period, while they still numbered just 11. The church has always seen this as its marching orders, an instruction that, like Jesus' presence, will be with us until the end of the world. While some would focus on this passage too as telling us something about God and an unexpected just-in-time endorsement by Jesus of the doctrine of the Trinity, I would rather concentrate on what it tells us we should be doing for God. Baptizing and teaching. So, bringing to people the advantages and the obligations of following Christ, the rights and responsibilities that accrue to the Christian. But who are we bringing this to? All nations. Here in the last verse of the Gospel, that above all has the reputation of being directed to Jews, replete with so many Old Testament quotations, we have an instruction from the lips of Jesus to broaden out the mission. All nations. Everyone. And as I have observed before, this is more people in more places than these 11 men could dream of. There is another word in there we ought to take to heart also in that last verse. It's the word always. I am with you always. This is actually a very big concept to grasp. It captures the spirit of Psalm 139. When the writer despairs of being able to escape from God wherever he goes, in the ups and downs of life, asleep and awake, when life is treating you so well that you might think you don't need God, and when things are so dark you think even God has abandoned you. No, he is there. Jesus, identifying himself with God because he is God, with us always, to the end of the world, to the end of the age. Given that promise, that assurance, wouldn't we want to respond in service? We turn again to God in our prayers. Jesus told his disciples, I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
God, forever is a very long time, whichever direction we look. Yet we cannot look forward or backwards to a time when you have not been, or will not be. Help us to understand that none of our words can describe how vast is your love and care, and to accept that you have a part in each of our lives, and each of us a part in your purposes.
Your prophet Isaiah was daunted by your greatness, and yet offered himself, Here I am, Lord, send me.
Lord, we want to respond with love to your love. We want to accept the Great Commission and go forward in the company of Christ to do his work in your world. Help us to interpret your call to us. Help us to see and take the opportunities to be Christ to our neighbours.
In ancient times, your exiled people felt unable to worship properly or sing your songs.
Lord, your people feel cut off from normality and unable to function as a church. Inspire us and show us fresh directions we might take. How to remain connected and in touch and responding to you despite losing our regular meeting times.
The psalmist wondered that earth's resources had been put in human hands.
God, help us not just to accept your amazing generosity, but to take responsibility for stewarding what is in the world, natural resources, both living and inert. As we look to emerge from lockdown and slowdown, may we not rush to reverse the reduction in pollution the world has seen in recent months.
Jesus commanded his disciples to baptize and teach. He also said, Love one another as I have loved you.
Lord, may we be Christ to others and give of our time and resources to help and comfort those who are ill, anxious, and grieving. We ask you for healing, even where there is sometimes no cure. For peace and calm where there has been upset and turmoil. In this week, we have seen anger and violence resulting from thoughtless action and needless death in the United States. Help us and all your children to see that we are bound through you with family ties that go beyond differences in skin colour, accent, ethnic origins, and social position.
Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Here is another hymn. Love divine, all loves excelling. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and hope and love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen. Thanks once again for listening to our podcast. You can find a full archive of previous podcasts on the website. Our opening music was from the beginning of the second movement of Brahms' Violin Concerto, from the album of Nigel Kennedy with the London Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Klaus Tennstedt. Thou Whose Almighty Word was sung by the choir of Norwich Cathedral from their album Complete New English Hymnal, Volume 5. Lo, I Am With You to the End of the World by John Bell was sung by the Wild Goose Worship Group and taken from their album There Is One Among Us. Love Divine, All Loves Excelling was sung by the St. Michael's Singers and can be found on the album The Best Hymns Album in the World Ever. And you have just heard The Swan from Carnival of the Animals by Camille Saint-Saëns, played by Hilary Robinson on cello, accompanied by John Ogden and Brenda Lucas as a piano duet. This was found on the Saint-Saëns album by the City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Louis Frémaux.